Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We want to continue the conversation about gun control as well as about some other issues before Congress, and we're joined by Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern to do that. Well, Congressman McGovern says he supports Senator Markey's bill that would model national gun legislation after what's on the books here in Massachusetts. McGovern says the divisions in Congress will likely stymie most reforms.
It's an uphill battle in Washington, D.C., where the NRA seems to own Congress. And, you know, we can't even get universal background checks passed in the House of Representatives or even debated, never mind having a vote on it. So we've been trying to get modest gun safety, gun control legislation before the Congress, and the NRA keeps on pushing back. And I think that's unfortunate. But I certainly support Senator Markey's legislation, and I'm hoping that this movement of young people, of these high school students, not only in Florida but from across the country, that is getting louder and louder and louder. And I think their passion and their commitment, you know, seems like maybe this might make a difference in forcing Congress to actually do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. If you may not be able to get strong gun control legislation through Congress because of the influence of the National Rifle Association, then what do you do about the money?
At some point, you know, people are going to have to stand up to the money and to stand up to this very powerful special interest lobby. You know, I've talked to some of my colleagues who say that, you know, they're afraid to vote for legislation that they agree with because they're afraid they're going to lose their election. Well, my response to them is I'd rather lose an election than lose a child.
But then what do you do to deal with that, right? What do you do about that fear of losing elections and, you know, about the influence of money by special interest groups?
Well, people power has to increase on this issue and a whole bunch of other issues.
If we go back to what Senator Markey outlined today, $20 million in Department of Justice grants to the 50 states to look into comprehensive licensing standards for gun owners and gun dealers. Is that, do you think, a step in the right direction?
I do. I think it is a step in the right direction. Universal background checks, more comprehensive and truly universal background checks ought to be something we could agree on. Right now, in this country, if you're on an FBI terrorist watch list, you cannot fly on a commercial plane. Well, I think that's a good thing. But yet you can go out and you can legally buy an assault weapon. I think that's a bad thing. Can we agree that if you're on an FBI terrorist watch list that you ought not to be able to go out and buy a gun? I mean, there are some things that I think I would like to think we could come together on.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what do you think we should do? I know your colleague, Congressman Neal, Richard Neal, has a new plan to address gun violence. He talks about some of the things that you just mentioned, adding people to the no-fly list. And he also says that really Congress needs to allow the Centers for Disease Control to research gun violence. Are those some of the things, or what are your main suggestions for dealing with this issue?
Well, no, I think all those things are good. I mean, we have to understand that there are multiple things that we need to do. We cannot get a debate or a vote on anything gun related in the House of Representatives. The Speaker of the House has blocked every single initiative. And so, you know, we're not going to be able to do anything if it is going to be the approach of the leadership to block everything.
So are any of these ideas, the ideas from Senator Markey, Congressman Neal, or even suggestions that you may have, are any of them, you know, is it pointless to even make a suggestion if you can't even get it forward?
Well, it's not pointless because my hope is that the pressure will continue to build and the Speaker will capitulate at some point and allow these initiatives to come to the floor. But there needs to be more pressure and it needs to be sustained. I mean, we try to use procedural votes every week to bring up a bill to establish universal and comprehensive background checks. You know, but we need more than procedural votes. We need to be able to have a vote and a debate.
How about this idea from the White House to form a commission led by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos that will look at improving school safety?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Betsy DeVos, and I'm really tired of more commissions and more excuses to do nothing. What the president has proposed sounds like, let's kick the can down the road and maybe everybody will forget about it.
Speaking of you not being a fan of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, you tweeted today about some of her interview on CBS's 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. And we actually have a clip from that interview. Let's listen.
Have you seen the really bad schools? Maybe try to figure out what they're doing?
I have not intentionally visited schools that are underperforming.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Yes.
And Congressman McGovern, your tweet was that American students deserve better. What do you mean by that? And in fairness, can an education secretary really visit every school in the country?
She can visit every school, but she ought to be visiting some schools that are struggling. And I don't think she has any clue about what's happening in public education. And by the way, there are a lot of good things happening in public education. But, she came to the position she's in by being basically an enemy of public education. Her answer to everything is more charter schools, more defunding of public education. But I found that whole interview troubling because here we have the Secretary of Education going on 60 Minutes and not being able to answer any questions that deal with the realities of education here in the United States.
What could she have offered that would have made you change your mind? You've been against her since she was put in this position. Well, what could she have done anything really that would have made you reconsider your opposition to her?
Well, she, like so many other of his cabinet picks, they get out there and they defend a narrative that doesn't reflect reality. For her to say that she hasn't visited any underperforming schools
or intentionally visited.
Wouldn't you think you would, as Secretary of Education, if there were problems in certain areas that you would go and you don't have to see every school in the country, but that you'd have an interest.
Let's talk about the $1.5 trillion tax law that was passed last year. According to the New York Times over the weekend, many say this is going to need some tweaking by Congress. And this could affect you in particular because of your role on the House Agriculture Committee. The New York Times identified the so-called grain glitch in this tax bill that allows farmers to deduct 20% of their total sales to co-ops and independent agriculture businesses say that that's going to put them out of business. So what do you think about potentially fixing the tax law, particularly in this very divided Congress?
One of the problems with the tax law was that it was the product of a process that included no hearings and no amendments. And so this thing was rushed to the floor, and there was an up or down vote, and most people didn't know what the hell was in the bill. So if you want to avoid glitches in the future, maybe you ought to have committees of jurisdiction do their work. That means hearings. That means markups and amendments, and that means listening to all sides and making sure that you proofread the bill so that you're not making mistakes. Clearly, there have to be some fixes and some tweaks, but we're going to have to see what they present to us as a whole package, because it's not just one or two things that are going to be that are problematic. There are many things, and as my colleague Congressman Neal would tell you, the Democrats in the Ways and Means Committee, are basically working to kind of highlight where they, where the mistakes are. So at some point, we're going to have to try to figure out a way to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think then that there will be an approved fix, particularly, when it comes to farmers?
I support our farmers, and I want to make sure that they don't get a raw deal. But will they just bring a technical corrections bill to the floor, or are they going to bring a technical corrections bill to the floor plus some other things, that may be problematic for some of us, who didn't like the tax bill to begin with? And let me just say this: the problem with the tax bill is not just a few groups in this country have been negatively impacted. The problem is that like 84% of all the benefits in this tax bill go to the top 1% income earners in this country.
But I wonder, because of the concerns of the way that this bill was voted on, how is that rancor going to affect the tweaking?
Well, my hope is that, as Republicans bring forward their technical fixes, that they are open and transparent enough to let Democrats bring forward our technical fixes. And I always believe, I'm on the Rules Committee, that a lousy process leads to lousy legislation. And we've had our fill of lousy legislation under this Republican majority.
Hmm. I want to talk about the banking bill that, you know, does give some banks relief from rules that were imposed after the financial crisis in 2008. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure which banking bill you're talking about, because we're constantly dealing with the financial services bills that are essentially repealing the Dodd-Frank legislation,
right?
Which was designed basically to hold some of these big banks accountable, but also to protect consumers. And what I see happening in Washington, based on the bills that are being brought to the floor, is the unraveling of Dodd-Frank, is the unraveling of modest protections to basically protect consumers and protect our country and our economy from, you know, another, you know, major economic crisis like the one we just dug ourselves out of. You know, it seems that what we're seeing in Washington is basically, a weakening of oversight. And I find that to be very troubling.
Hmm. But some say that the demands of Dodd-Frank caused, you know, smaller banks to close and have tightened credit and have hurt, you know, some small businesses and farmers, right?
Well, you know, I mean, that is the argument that we hear from the people who want to undo any kind of regulation and any kind of oversight. And again, to the extent that any of those arguments are meritorious, I'm happy to work to try to, you know, protect our smaller banks and certainly protect our small businesses and our farmers. But that's just not the case. I mean, what's happening here? Follow the money. Look where all the big financial services industries are putting their money. They're putting their money, you know, into campaigns for Republicans, basically to get them to undo, you know, all the regulations and all the oversight of Dodd-Frank.
Hmm. This is an election year. We're 6 months away from the Democratic primary here in Massachusetts, and there are a bunch of races, particularly one among your colleague, Congressman Mike Capuano, being challenged by Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley, and this is in the 7th Congressional District. Would you make an endorsement in that race or no?
Yeah, I support Mike. I mean, he's a friend, and I think he's been a great congressman, a great progressive leader. He's on the Financial Services Committee. I know he fights hard to protect consumers. He's on the Transportation Committee, and infrastructure is a big deal in Massachusetts. You know, I know Councillor Pressley not as well as Mike. She's an incredible leader, and I have great admiration for her. So this is not about her, but I think Mike is a good member of Congress who has done a great job for his constituents, and my endorsement doesn't mean anything outside of my district, but. You know, but he's somebody who I think deserves re-election.
What about folks who say, though, there's not a lot of diversity among the delegation? Is it time?
Well, I mean, you know, when I vote for people, I vote based on issues, and I vote based on, you know, their viewpoints and their vision for the future. I mean, I'm a strong supporter of diversity. But to me, at the end of the day, my constituents are impacted, you know, by issues, by policy. You know, if I were in his district, I'd vote for him.
All right. Congressman Jim McGovern, who represents Massachusetts' 2nd District. Congressman, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Happy to be with you.